Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
BashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to BashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.
Welcome to Bashani Radio Network, New York City, where we're always talking about everything. Welcome to the Michael Mew Show, where we are here always talking about fear, kicking it straight through the door. And today, we are blessed, we are humbled to have a woman who has conquered some things that have been truly remarkable. Because you know, when you come to the Michael Mew Show, we expect you to leave energized. We expect you to leave inspired. We expect you to leave knowing you have a purpose, and a purpose that needs to be fulfilled. Ladies and gentlemen, this young lady has the story that is going to help you, give you insight, give you clarity, and show you how important faith is. Because as my audience, as you guys already know, overcoming your fears is not an option. And this young lady here, she is truly a comeback kid. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, let me let you know right now. Her name is Stacy Irvin. Stacy, how are you doing today? Welcome to the Michael Mew Show.
I am doing great today, and thank you. Thank you for the opportunity and having me on your show.
Well, absolutely. It's a great thing. We live in a society now where people are giving up between work, between family, between health issues. People are losing faith. People are not looking to get centered, and they're easily distracted. But you have quite a story when it comes to what you have gone through. So if you can, take us back, take us on that journey with us.
Absolutely. I have to start my journey take you back a few years. And I went to the doctor, and I was a bit overweight. And he said, Stacy, I'm going to give you two options. Not only was I overweight, I had high cholesterol. So he gave me two options. He said, Stacy, you can take medicine and get your numbers down, or you can start eating healthy and exercising on a regular basis. Well, I chose to take the high road because I had been telling my family, you know, I'm going to lose weight, and when I turn 40, I'm going to look like Janet Jackson, because she looked good when she turned 40.
Well, you know what? Let me ask you a quick question right there. Your doctor advised you. Now, realistically, most people do not follow their doctor's advice. So for you, was it the very first time, or was this, did it take a little nudging to get you to?
It was the first time, because I am not one that goes to the doctor at the drop of a hat. I was forced to go to the doctor due to health insurance regulations. They make you go to the doctor and get a physical. If you don't do it, then it's more money. So I was forced to go.
Uh-oh. So what you said, it became not a health decision, it became a financial decision.
That's right. That's right. But following the doctor's advice was a personal decision, because I had been saying all along that I wanted to lose weight. And so this just kind of gave me that nudge, maybe that I needed to go ahead and do it because it was for my health and not necessarily cosmetic.
How many pounds overweight were you?
I was 30 pounds overweight.
Okay.
But my son, I have been telling, my son at the time was a college football player. And you know, college football players, they're all about their physique. They're all about their health and, you know, what they're eating, their workout plan. And I was telling him, yeah, I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to look like Janet Jackson when I'm 40. And he looked at me and he said, Ma, you're not about that life. I said, what? Before I back slapped him, I had to think. I said, you know what? He's right. I'm not about the life because I'm talking about it and I'm not being about it. So when I went to the doctor and he gave me my two choices, that helped me over the hump of I'm going to take the high road and I'm going to prove to my son that I am about this life.
Exactly.
I am going to change my eating habits and work out. So I told him this, you know, the doctor said this, and I am going to, and I would like to start working out. And he said, okay, Ma, well, come on and work out with me. Like I said, my son was a college football player. I thought, you know, we're going to the gym. Okay. I walk into the gym. There's no exercise bike. There's no treadmill. There's no ellipticals. I said, well, what kind of place do you have me in? They had resistance bands, medicine balls, big tires. I said, oh my goodness, what are we going to do in here? Well, I soon found out what we did. There are like 1,000 variations of squats. There's about 1 million variations of sit-ups.
Right.
I think I did them all that day.
Uh-oh.
And after that workout, I'm telling you, it was so hard to walk to my car. I just said, what's wrong with me in here with a 20-something-year-old working out with them? And I was actually hungry after the workout. And I did not stop at my regular friend's house. You know that we used to stop at, like, Wendy's and McDonald's. You know our friends.
Oh, yeah, them girlfriends.
Them girlfriends. I didn't go see them that day. Because I said I worked too hard to go and see them. But that was my aha moment. If I worked that hard, then I would absolutely change my eating habits. And so I made a commitment. We kind of did a pinky swear, me and my son. I was like, you're going to go back to school and you're going to work hard. Well, I'm going to stay home and work hard as well. So I did. I continued that particular workout 3 times a week.
Okay.
And so it was, you know, the push-ups, the sit-ups, all those calisthenic type things and different variations of that. And I also changed my eating habits and I was seeing results. But I also was not getting stronger. I was getting weaker. And you would think with that type of a workout, you know, that you would kind of build muscle and get strong. But I could not. It was like I could only do so many push-ups where I should be able to do more.
Right.
And so I went back to the doctor and I let him know. He thought I had a vitamin D deficiency. And he gave me vitamin D. He said, you know, I'll take this for 3 months. And you should be fine. Well, those 3 months passed, and I was not fine again. I was getting weaker. Also found myself losing balance. I also found myself, you know, I would hold things in my hand, and all of a sudden, they would be on the floor. And it's like, I don't remember them actually sliding out of my hand.
Right.
So I went back to the doctor, and I let him know about those symptoms, and he was very concerned. And he said, Stacy, you're going to have an MRI immediately. I said, well, I have to get back to work. And so I said, I'll, you know, schedule some time. And now I was losing weight. And my reward to myself was skinny jeans and platform heels.
Uh-oh.
And so I...
Bring your sexy back, huh? Say,
that's right. Getting
that Janet Jack look going, huh?
That's right. So I did manage to get my skinny jeans, and he said, you know, you have to have this MRI right away. And I said, okay, well, I got to get back to work. So we scheduled it for that upcoming Saturday. But before I went back to work, I went home. And I went to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I got on my knees. And I just surrendered. I said, whatever this is that you're bringing to me, you're going to have to bring me out. And I say yes to your will and your way. And with that, I had such a peace about whatever was going on with me. I didn't know at the time, but I still, the Lord gave me peace about whatever it was.
Exactly.
So Saturday comes around. My husband and I, we go. My plan was to go have the MRI. That was my day for grocery shopping. And I was going to get my platform heels because they were on sale that Saturday.
Had to go ahead and get that shoe going, right?
Gotta get the shoes.
Make sure your shoe game is tight and on point.
That's right. Yeah. And on sale.
He said, and on sale. At least 50% off to make it all justified.
That's right. And so I have my MRI, I get dressed, and the lady says, well, Stacy, don't leave. We want to make sure we have your images correct. I said, well, why would they have me put my clothes back on if they thought that they didn't get the images right? I had no clue. And I'm sitting there. And so the lady comes out and she says, this is the hardest part of my job. She said, I cannot let you leave because we have found a tumor on your brain. And I said, but when she said that, there was no fear. There was no nothing. Like I said, I had peace. I had peace beyond that I could explain to you. Exactly. My concern was, can I come back? I'll be back. But these heels are on sale, and I need to get these soon. She said, nah, Stacy, you can't leave. You are too at risk. So what I later found out, the tumor was located in such a spot that if I had the surgery or if I did not have the surgery, I was at risk for death. That's what I was facing. But my trust was not in man. My trust was not in the statistics. My trust was not into where the tumor was in my head. My trust was in the Lord, who created me and who brought this to me and who I knew was going to bring me out.
That's right.
So I spent a week in the hospital while they had to figure out how to get this tumor out because it had grown slowly. So all my arteries and everything was wrapped around and it was very difficult to remove. So I understood I was facing death with or without the surgery. But if I survived the surgery, I thought all my symptoms was going to go away and I would be back to work and everything would be fine. So the night before surgery, the doctors come in and said, we're going to do this. The surgery should take about 10 hours and you should, you know, everything will be fine. But we would like for you to exercise before surgery. I said, well, what kind of request is that? What kind of something is that? Look, y'all not letting me leave. I can't go to the gym. How am I going to exercise before surgery? And I was like, oh, yeah, I can't exercise before surgery. I can praise the Lord before surgery. And because we are supposed to rejoice always.
That's right.
Yes, I can praise the Lord before a brain surgery. So me and my daughter, we dance up and down that hallway, that hospital hallway. Folks was looking at us like we were crazy. I didn't care because I was going to be one with my head cracked open on the operating table and not them. I was praising my Savior for what he was going to do.
Yes.
And so that's what I did. We danced up and down that hallway till I couldn't dance no more. And I slept good before brain surgery. Anyway, I had that good rejoicing, and the surgery happened. Like I said, and the Lord had in my spirit that this was for his glory some kind of way. And so I had the surgery. I'm thinking I'm going to wake up like I said, and go back to work and go and get my heels, even though if they weren't on sale, I was still going to get them.
That's right.
I woke up. I could not speak. I could not move. I could barely move. I could move a little bit. I could barely move. And I had a stroke during the surgery. So my hand, my right side was really very, very weak. It was my left side that was a little bit stronger. But right. I had a stroke, and my right side, my whole right side, I just really couldn't move. And I laid there. I remember when I first woke up and I couldn't move and talk, and they had this tube down my throat, and I thought to myself, Lord, how is this for your glory? I can't even talk or move. And he quickly reminded me that his thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. What he also reminded me is what I needed to be doing is staying in my lane and trusting in him with all of my heart and not leaning to my understanding. I wasn't supposed to be understanding what the situation was right then. I was just supposed to be trusting him, and that's it.
And so let me ask you this question here. And the one thing you said, I love what you said before you went in, you and your daughter were just praising the Lord, and you were dancing, and that was, like I said, that was your form of exercise. And so during that process, because we hear people all the time, we hear people always say, we need to trust in God. Yeah. And for you going into that surgery, take us through some of the mental steps you had to take to be aligned spiritually to go forth with that type of surgery.
Well, like I said, I surrendered before I knew that I had a tumor. With that, I had a peace. But then you know, okay, so then you find out you have a tumor. The Lord sustained me with the peace. I was more concerned about the heels than the tumor. But then I spent a week, you know, I had a week to think about what was going on here. They're really, you know, about to do this intrusive surgery, and you could possibly not come out of this. He gave me a Bible verse. I had a Bible verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, which says, rejoice always. And I took that to heart. It doesn't say rejoice sometimes. It doesn't say rejoice when everything's are going good. It says rejoice always. Always to me means you rejoice in the good and the bad.
Exactly.
The next part of it says pray continually. So I had to keep my mind focused on God. I had to keep reminding myself that he brought me to this. He has to bring me out. That was my only concern. Even though the doctors were saying this, that, and the other, right. I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate, thank you for your expertise. Thank you for calling in the top doctors. Thank you for all of that.
Yes.
But my trust is not in what you're saying. My trust of my life is with the Father.
That's right.
So the next part of that says,
take us back up to that point where you were laying in bed, and while you were lying there in bed, you said you're only able to move just a little bit. And so I'm assuming this is right after the surgery, am I correct?
Yes.
And so
I was.
So share that with me.
Well, yes, I laid there. So, but just to finish with, you know, where I was, I wrote that Bible. You know how in the hospital you have your board and it has your name, your nurse's name, and your pain level and all that good stuff on your board in the hospital. Well, where it says patient's comments, I wrote my Bible verse out. And I shared my Bible verse. The Lord told me to share my Bible verse for whoever comes into the room. So that included the doctors, the nurses, the custodians, the visitors.
That's
everybody
right.
needed to read my Bible verse
That's right.
before they were able to converse with me, so they understood where I was. This was not a sad affair for me.
You let them know that's so power in the word.
That's right. And so when I was laying there, my family already knew to have in ICU, to have my verse on that board. And so I could see that verse. I believed in that verse. I wholeheartedly believed that the Lord was going to bring me through this. Even though I was laying there, I still had peace. I was never in any pain, never through the whole thing. And that was something that helped me to build my trust as well. Because the Lord, how can you have brain surgery and not have a headache? Oh no, the Lord has to be with you.
Absolutely. And so how long were you in ICU? And what was the status of where you were at after that point? How long were you in the hospital?
In ICU, I spent an extended time in ICU because I could not get the surgery lasted for 10 hours, but they didn't get all of the tumor out because I started having complications with breathing. So they stopped the surgery, and the plan was to help. I was supposed to, you know, regain my breathing, get my breathing together and go back in to get the rest of the tumor. Well, the breathing never got together. And I ended up having to have a trach. And we never revisited the surgery. I still have tumor because it's so risky to remove. Right. So I was in ICU for 2 weeks. And that's like a very long time to be in ICU on a ventilator. And I ended up having to have a trach and as well. I couldn't like eat food on my own.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you are on the Bashani Radio Network, New York City, where we're always talking about everything. And we are with Stacey Irving. Talk about the journey of being in the hospital, in ICU, or how she looked at that one scripture that helped her get through this trying time. So back to your story, Stacey.
Yes. I'm sorry. What did you say?
Yes, you get back to your story on your been
able. Yes, so I progressively got bigger. I got better. I remember the first time sitting up and how dizzy I felt, and I couldn't even sit up on my own. I needed assistance just to sit on the side of the bed. I had no balance whatsoever. My eyes were crossed. I had double vision. I couldn't see straight. My eyes were crossed. I absolutely couldn't stand at all. But I progressively got better. I never gave up hope. I knew that God was with me. So even I couldn't sit on the bed, then I could sit on the bed with assistance. Then I could sit on the bed on the edge of the bed by myself. I rejoiced in all of those minor things. Every little minor thing that happened with me that was an improvement, it was a rejoice and a praise to the Lord. And I was able to bless the people that were around me that were taking care of me, because not only did I have my Bible verse in every hospital room that I went through, I also would play my music. I had gospel music. I had a theme song during this. It's called In Everything Give Thanks. And I have my theme song on a regular basis. Yeah. And in the song, she says that all things work together for the good. And she said, if the good is working for you, that's good.
That's right.
But if the bad is working for your good, you don't have nothing to lose.
That's right.
All you have to do is praise. So that's all I did. I just praised, and I progressively got better. I spent 7 weeks in the hospital. when I came home in a wheelchair. I still couldn't walk on my own. And I came home with the feeding tube. The trach did leave, but I came home with the feeding tube and in the wheelchair. And I still never gave up hope on those
platform shoes.
I did not. I never gave up hope. And I remember progressively getting better, like just trying to walk and having to walk with assistance and walking with a walker. And I remember my daughter saying, "Ma, you don't look like a handicapped person," because I wouldn't wear gym shoes. I would wear sandals and get my toes done while I was, you know, in physical therapy. And I did eventually get my platform heels, and I wear them when I can.
That's right. And you know what's remarkable, what you shared, Stacy, because there are a lot of people right now who are going through some health challenges. And for me, you took me back to when I was recovering, actually when I first suffered my heart attack, seizure, and kidney failure. And at that same point in time when I couldn't walk. And it was just remarkable for me. To me, it was a big thing to be able to sit up and be able to walk to the bathroom. And for me, that was a huge accomplishment. To me, that was just like winning a Nobel Peace Prize.
That's right. That's right.
And so what you said really brought my attention. Two things you said that really caught my attention. Number one, you surrendered yourself. That was the first thing. And the second thing you said that caught my attention is that you made sure you were at peace. So you made sure before surgery and even after surgery that no matter how the outcome would come or be, you made sure that you were at peace. And so I want us to expound on that part right there, being at peace, because that's one thing as we can visually see, and even in the spiritual world feel, that is so much chaos. And we have to always find that place to get that peace. So what were some of the things you were doing to get that peace?
It was my focus. I did not lose focus. My focus was on God. And when I say my focus was on God, for instance, after surgery, like I said, my eyes were crossed. I wore eye patch like a pirate. And I went to his office and I said, "Okay, you all didn't say anything about crossed eyes." I said, "Crossed eyes is not cute. What are we gonna do about these crossed eyes?"
Right.
He looked me dead in my face and he said, "Oh, it's nothing we're gonna do about it. You're gonna live with that for the rest of your life."
Ooh.
And there was no argument. There was no nothing with him. He gave his professional opinion as to what he thought in his mind was going to happen. But what I said in my mind, I didn't say anything to him. What I said in my mind was, "Lord, did you hear that? You did not say that to me. So he just doesn't have the answer."
Exactly. So pretty much, he may be a physician, but he is not the great physician.
That's right. But that was my focus. So when people talk to me, I think in my head, I have to remember of who I'm trusting in. If I trusted in the doctor and he was saying this to me, then there would be no conversation in my head. There would be no prayer, no nothing. That's why it says pray continually. And praying doesn't necessarily mean that you are down on your knees and snotting all the time. It's having that communication with the Lord at all times. And that's what I did. I always had communication with the Lord at all times. And when things were not going my way, I would talk to him about it and I would say it, but he was the one that I would go to because I fully trusted in him in this situation. Absolutely. That's where it was my focus, and that's where I gained my peace. I did not have the television going on in my room. The television was never on, and people would come in like, "Aren't you bored? Don't you want to turn the TV on?" I said, "No, I'm at peace. I don't need the television."
Exactly.
I did not. I had peace.
Because you understood that TV and whatever's coming out of that TV, you don't have no control over. And you want to make sure that connection that you had and that focus. And I think people don't realize, especially going through a traumatic experience as yours and dealing with the brain, that's your mind.
Yes.
And you want your mind to be totally committed. You want to be totally in sync to the scripture you had written up there and to you staying connected to God the way you need to stay connected. So that is absolutely powerful because you hit three powerful nuggets here with your focus, with your being surrendered, and being at peace. Those are three elements that anyone, wherever they're going through, they need it in their life.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. And you know what? We are about to get ready to close up in a minute. So what I would love for you to do is to just share a closing statement on how your experience, how it helped you and how your situation can help other people and how people can contact you.
In my closing statement, I say, really take to heart what the Word of God says. His Word does not lie. You have to take the Word of God as if I am talking to you. If I gave you a check right now and told you to take it to the bank, you would fully trust that the money is there and that you can go to the bank and cash this check. That's exactly how we have to take the Word of God to heart.
Yeah.
And I took the Word of God to heart as if he was down here, standing right here in front of me and saying those exact words to Stacy Irvin. That's exactly how I take the Word of God. It truly is the living Word. And you have to remember that in spite of whatever is going on, because there's a lot of things in the world that goes on to make that's contrary to that. And yeah, that will try to help us get off track. But my thing is, if the devil is doing his job, I'm going to do my job too.
That's right.
And my job is to trust in the Lord, and that's what I'm going to do. So what? Let's go.
That's right.
What I say to somebody that may be going through something, you have to, like I said, you have to trust in the Lord. Your trust cannot be anywhere else except that. That does not mean you don't follow the doctor's orders. That doesn't mean that you don't necessarily listen to what other people are saying, but your trust.
Yes.
Has to be in God. After all, he's the one who created this. They can't even figure out the cure for cancer. I can't trust in man. I can't.
I have to trust
in the one that created me, who knows all about me, who knows all the hairs on my head, who knows all the more about me than I know about myself. That's the one I got trusted. That's the most logical decision I could make for myself.
That's right, yeah.
And that's what you can make for yourself as well. The one who created you is the one who can bring you out. And to contact me, I have a website. It is Stacy, www.stacyirvin.com, StacyIrvin.com. I have a blog that I write, a spiritual blog. I blog Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, just an inspiration, something quick to bring the Word of God to you. Like I said, I take the Word of God literally as if the Lord is speaking to me personally, and that's the perspective that my blog is, taking the Word of God literally so that you can see his Word is true. You can believe it. You can take it to the bank. I don't know what else to say, but you can contact me that way. through my website. And the name of my website is What You Say, Lord, because that's him talking all the way through the Bible. And I said, sometimes I have to step back and say, What You Say, Lord?
That's right. And you know what, Stacey Irvin, you are truly a superstar. And definitely, I know you got those high heels now. You're dancing, you're moving around. As they say, the devil is a liar.
Absolutely.
And so we are proud to have you on here today because people need to hear that whatever situation they're going through physically, that they are not by themselves.
That's right.
And you love for three important things: that focus on God, surrender to God, and be at peace with God. Yes. If a person has those three things going through a situation, they will definitely come out on top. And so we thank you so much for coming on. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you are with the fearless coach, the author of Rise and Burn, the author From Pain to Power, and the Fearless Journal. Because overcoming your fears is not an option on the Michael Muse Show. Ladies and gentlemen, you can contact me at michaelmusenow.com. That's michaelmusenow.com. And you can email me at michaelmusenow@gmail.com. That's michaelmusenow@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you so much for coming on, listening today, because without you, there is no me. So I thank you for coming on Bashani Radio Network, New York City. Always talking about everything. Thank you for coming on to the Michael Muse Show.
BashaniRadio.com is global. You can listen on any computer or mobile device that connects to the internet. Simply go to BashaniRadio.com and click on the show you would like to hear. Then sit back and enjoy yourself with powerful and positive talk radio. BashaniRadio.com, New York City. Always talking about everything.